So, you know, you already see on the screen the title of our message today, Preparation for the Final Crisis. You know, there will be final crisis. And we are very near this time of crisis. That's why the Lord has asked me to talk a little bit about that today so that we can be in we can be ready for it. I don't know if I have the clicker with me. If I don't have it. I have some purposes for this message that we may warn our unbelieving family members and the world of the impending danger of losing their eternal life. Second, to live as if the world is moving toward the end. Actually, it's not like it is not moving. It is really moving fast toward the end of our earth history. Third, to spend time in spreading the gospel. However, we can go about God's business in our neighborhood, in the home, or wherever we may be, we need to spread the gospel however God decides us to spread it. And the last one is to avoid the last solar eclipse that will surely happen. Today is Saturday, am I correct? If today is Saturday and we are talking about solar eclipse, maybe we need to, just for 1 or 2 minutes, or probably 5, talk a little bit about it, Let me pray. Let me go to my knees. If you can kneel with me, do so. Let me see. This one is not working? None is working. The Heavenly Father, I'm going to be speaking in your name. In your name, please. Send to your church your Holy Spirit. Send to your man servant your Holy Spirit. The way that we want it is to use us mightily so that your name may be glorified and your church members may be ready. You allowed us to come to this church to worship you along with the angels, holy angels. If it's possible, take the evil angels out of here, that our peace may be perfect, our joy may be perfect, and our brain may be focused on what is being said. Bless those who are sick. Heal those who want to have a better relationship with you, a better physical state, a better mental state. And particularly, my wife, she doesn't feel good. And I know that you can heal her. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right. So, the crisis that is ahead of us is the last crisis of the earth and is the one where there will be no shelter. I mean, no protection for those who have no Christ. I don't know if somebody can go to the back to see if I have left there the clicker, please. I need the clicker to... It's not around here. All right. Oh, thank you. Thank you, my man. All right. Those who are not sealed will not make it through. I mean, through what? the last crisis. The judgment will be against them, those who do not make it through the last crisis. It will be a time when those who have not studied the Bible will be deceived by the devil. Read your Bible. You may ask how. I'm glad you asked, my brother would say. I'm glad you asked. I will come back to it. It will be a crisis of Christian identity where false Christians will be deceived. There will be a spendous crisis, a widespread apprehension. The present is, Sister White is talking here, prophets and kings. You can find it in last day events as well. The present, and please follow closely. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. And I bet you understand what I'm talking about. Even if you are a little child, you may probably see things shaping differently in the family. Because there is a crisis ahead of us, no one will escape. No one. Rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes, have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. Sister White was prophesying. It was in 1914 before she died. Probably 1 year before she died. If in her time, rulers and statesmen, men and women of intellect, were fixing their attention to the event taking place around them, how much more around us today? They are watching the men, the women, statesmen, thinking men and women are watching the relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize that something great is decisive is about to take place. That the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. Don't forget, the title for this message is Preparation for the Final Crisis. I will not give you any step-by-step process to prepare for that. And you know, one of the things that you need to do to prepare for the final crisis is to read your Bible in the spirit of prophecy. Second thing is to pray earnestly. Third is to preach the gospel and many more. But I'm not giving you any more of the step to follow because, hey, you know what you ought to do. But I'm just warning you of this stupendous crisis that is right around the corner. So we heard and we're still experiencing the war between Ukraine and Russia. It's been about 3 years now since that war has started by Russia invading Ukraine. And more than 1 million have already died in this war. Civilians and soldiers, women and men, children and elderly people, rich and poor have died in it. Israel
USA versus Hamas.
Oh, Hamas.
I'm sorry. Though probably American soldiers have not been fighting Hamas in this war, but money and weapons have been sent to Israel to fight Hamas, which is now a common enemy. But I'm telling you, if today the common enemy is Hamas, tomorrow the common enemy is not going to be Hamas anymore. It's going to be us. And it will not be just Israel against us. It will be USA against his own citizens. And it will spread all over the world. Because of one reason. And there is also a rumor that Iran will attack Israel or America next week. Next week, and America is getting ready. There is a stupendous crisis ahead of us. Everyone is fixing their eyes on it, but they cannot decipher what it is exactly. U.S. actively preparing for significant regional attack by Iran that could come within the next week. This is the link. I'm not going to talk too much about it. But I'm just warning you of what will take place on Earth in a very near future, and that church members should be ready for that to happen. This is another topic. If you've browsed the internet in the last few weeks, you may have noticed that individuals of diverse social walks have been talking about the next solar eclipse. What's the big deal? They call it total solar eclipse. Yes. Did that happen in 1917? Yes, it was in July, August. I was there. When my daughter was born, there was another one, and I looked without any glasses. I looked up. Nothing happened to me, and I have good vision. That's you. That's you. I see everybody. Come on now. I'm not asking you to do that tomorrow, okay? On Monday. I'm not asking you to look up there to see the solar eclipse with naked eyes. You may damage your eyes. All right. So, scientists, religious leaders, and common people alike have been making their predictions. But the zealous Christians found Bible verses to confirm their prophecy. They're talking about a lot. I cannot enumerate them. I'm not going to be talking about it. But I'm just telling you, do not be deceived by so-called prophets. So-called prophets prophesying that on Monday there will be a lot. Now, let me be clear. And don't get me wrong when I say there will not be a lot. Biblically speaking, we may not see anything on Monday, April 8th. Biblically speaking. Many conspiracy theories are out there, and unfortunately, not a few believe these fallacies. The apprehension is everywhere. On Wednesday, I was listening to an audio of someone saying that the earth will be in darkness for 3 full days. That's crazy. 3 full days in darkness because of the solar eclipse? That person said there will be no electricity. Probably. probably because there are some globalists out there that want to do everything they want to do to subdue us. But God may not allow them to do so. Some state governments have already declared state of emergency, such as Texas, etc. Governments have been asking their citizens to stock up food. Have you heard about that? Because you're not on the internet. Because you're not online. You're not on YouTube. I'm not asking you to constantly browse the internet for conspiracy theories. But this is true. They ask people to stock up. But now they ask people to stock up, particularly in the trajectory of the solar eclipse. They ask to stock up food, water, etc. Hotel room prices have been tenfold higher for the same room in places where there will be total solar eclipse. People are talking about a cyber attack that will make our phones useless. NASA will fire three sounding. This is true. You can go to the internet, not now, you are in church, but you can go to the internet and you will see it. NASA says that they will fire three sounding rockets toward the sun this coming Monday. This is true. And I'm telling you, we are heading to a stupendous crisis, the last ever known by the earth. This is it, if you want to know it. USA Today, etc., every news channel is talking about it. NASA is launching three sounding rockets into space during the total solar eclipse. Here's why, and you can read it right here. NASA is preparing to launch three giant rockets toward the sun on the same day that the massive hot ball of light, which is the sun, will appear to millions of people in North America, be fully eclipsed by the moon. Most sky gazers will be eagerly awaiting the moment on Monday, April 8th, when the moon completely blocks the sun's disk, ushering in those precious few moments of totality, whereby darkness falls and the sun's outermost layer, the corona, probably coronavirus, I don't know, becomes visible. So there's excitement, there's a fever out there about the solar eclipse. And people are talking about it all over, like if the end of time is near. And it is near. And you just read that schools will be closed. Governments are asking people to stack up and to fill up their tank in case of emergency. Now, brothers and sisters, no, that's it. My question, if people are so concerned about what will happen during or a little after the eclipse, why are they not concerned about getting ready for the real event deals, such as the Sunday laws, the sealing, the judgment, the close of probation, the first coming of Christ, and the second coming of Christ? This should be the reason of us being excited. This should be the focus of our attention. Events of greatest magnitude are about to take place. Calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. That means they gather their strength together for one reason, the same reason Satan fought against God in heaven. They want to get rid of the law of God. And as I said in the lesson, you cannot change the law of God if you don't want to change God. Because if the law is the translation of God's character, you cannot change the law because God cannot change. And that's exactly what these men want to do. They combine, they consolidate their strength together. And no, give me 1 second. And the agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. This is what Biden, this is what Trump, this is what Mike Johnson, this is what is the name of Canada, this man in Canada, Trudeau, the men in France, Macron, whatever name they have, this is what they're trying to do. Take the place of God as Satan wanted to do when he was in heaven. This is what the Pope of Rome, Francis, is trying. What is his name? Great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final movement will be? Final movements will be rapid ones. Final movements. And I'm telling you, we are living the final movements as I'm talking to you. After COVID-19, where more than 1.13 million have died in America. Not 1.13 million have died in America and more than 7 million in the world. Prognostics are made that we will have the real deal pandemic. A real deal pandemic called Disease X is coming around. They call it H5N1 or bird flu. That scientist says is 100 times more fatal than COVID-19. Some world governments, such as America, are already preparing a vaccine. A vaccine. A vaccine to deal with this disease. The bird flu or avian, I think, or influenza is communicated from birds to humans. But according to news, at least two people in America have already contracted that virus. A Texan man who was taking care of cows has contracted that virus. It is also said that it will be contracted from humans to human. And according to news, America and China are making it more fatal than it is now. You know what more fatal means? America has spent $1 million in making it more fatal to kill more people. Pandemic on horizon. What to know about the risk of the bird flu? Go there. The recent spread of avian influenza in dairy cattle in the U.S. has startled even some scientists who've tracked a global outbreak. Global outbreak pandemic of the virus ever the last few years. There's a heap of unknowns right here, says Richard. A virologist at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. How widespread is the virus? Virus in where? Where? Can you read that for me, please, somebody? Dairy cattle. What does that mean, dairy cattle? What does that mean, please? If there is any meat eater, or cow, or beef, or whatever you call it, either dairy, cattle, milk coming from cow.
ice cream. Yes, my sister, ice cream.
Okay, what could this mean for humans? De Ricardo, none of this is clear yet. The first cases of this H5N1 bird flu strain emerged in North America among wild migratory birds in late 2021. 2021, we were still in what? COVID-19. There are many beautiful videos about that now. I didn't have time to put them on the message. But please, brothers and sisters, be careful. And soon spread to poultry farms. What poultry means? You see, particularly what? Chicken. Chicken leg. Eggs. Eggs. It's now showing up among dairy cows. And a major egg producer in 1% and 1% who had close contact with cows has been infected and isolated. Not just one person. So the crisis is upon us. The world is becoming more and more lawless. Don't we see that? Soon great trouble will arise among the nations. Trouble that will not cease until Jesus comes. When the crisis comes, listen to that. When the crisis comes, at least five things will happen simultaneously and consecutively. There are many, many more. I did not want to leave them and I erased them. But these are the ones that I'm going to be talking about for a little while. The judgment of the righteous will take place when the final crisis comes. The judgment of the righteous will take place. The sealing of the just will take place. The probation will end for the SDA members individually and collectively. The end of probation for the earth will take place. The personification of Christ by Satan will take place. Satan will show himself in several places as Christ, as Jesus himself has predicted it. This judgment will come, will not occur before the second phase of the Sunday laws is voted in Congress. We must not forget that God will judge the church first, the living just before the probationary time ends. The church will be judged first so that we can receive the latter rain and go out in the loud cry to preach the gospel. So if the judgment will take place for the church first, we need to get ready now, because the judgment will take place between the two first phases of Sunday law. Okay. The sealing is one of the most important for the church. The events that are unfolding around us tell us clearly that we are at the threshold of the sealing time. Now, if you could take with me, please, as I'm reading that. Ezekiel 9, verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel. We know that Israel is not God's people anymore. We are God's people. And the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub. Well, how many cherubs are out there in heaven? Probably several ones. But according to the context, there are two cherubs. One at the right, the other one at the left hand of God, where God sits on his throne, where the altar is, and the Ark of the Covenant is. The testimonials inside of the Ark, what are you finding? There are at least three elements in the ark.
the manna, the road, Aaron rod that is budded, that has budded, and also what? The one that is the most important is what? The Ten Commandments. So God, you know, since 1844, October 22nd, Jesus is interceding for us between the two cherubs. So if God has gone up, that means if God has left this place, that means there will be no more judgment. That means that it will be the end of judgment. That means it will be the end of what? Of probation. That means it is time for God's people to be sealed. Actually, they will be sealed at that time. That means it is the time to receiving what? The latter rain. The time to go out to preach the loud cry right here. Because our message as Seventh-day Adventist is centered around the holy of the holy places. Or you call it the most holy place. Whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. God will leave that room where he's judging his people, where Jesus is interceding in our behalf, and he will stay right there. Threshold of the house. And he called to the men clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink horn by his side. This is King James Version. New King James Version says, now the glory of God, of the God of Israel, had gone up from the same thing of the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. Don't forget, the temple is the sanctuary, is where God resides. God will leave it. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. What city? The midst of Jerusalem. Who is Jerusalem as I'm talking? The church. It is not the literal Jerusalem in the Middle East. It is us, the church, because Jerusalem symbolizes the church of God. In the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sang and who cried because of all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. The things that are taking place in our church now, if church members are not sighing and crying, I bet they will never be sealed. Lately, in the Potomac conference, they have ordained a female pastor, a female who is advocating for the LGBTQRST. A female who is advocating for them has been ordained pastor in our church. And people are not saying anything. This is nothing to them. The Bible said, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and who cry because of all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. You've got to see videos of church members dancing, jumping, leaping like devil in the church. And church leaders don't do anything like dog. I forget that concept that I would use in this message. We're not saying anything, and we expect to be saved. We're not sighing, we're not crying. And to the others, he said, in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Pity of whom? Slay utterly old and young. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my. Nobody says anything. Where is God starting killing people in the church? Who will be killed? Those who do not receive the seal of God. And who will not receive the seal of God? Those who are not sighing and crying. In the great conflict between faith and unbelief, the whole Christian world will be involved. The whole Christian world. All will take sides. Some apparently may not engage in the conflict on either side. Some, listen to that, please. Please, 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 please. All will take side. All will take side. Some apparently may not engage in the conflict on either side. Is it possible? Okay. Will God accept that? They may not appear to take sides against the truth, but they will not come out boldly for Christ through fear of losing property or suffering reproach. All such are numbered with the enemies of Christ. If you do not come boldly, I'm sorry to say that, as I am coming out boldly, I'm sorry to say that, you need to come out boldly. Boldly. Against abominations in the church and in the world. Come out boldly. I'm not talking about coming out LGBT. I'm not talking about that. What the seal of God? What is the seal of God? Okay, what the seal of God is. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, we just read it. It is not any seal or mark that can be seen. You cannot see it. But a settling into the truth, both intellectually, that means you know it, you read your Bible, a spirit of prophecy, you understand it, you capture it, and it engraves or engraved in your mind. Intellectually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, so once we are completely sealed, there will be a mighty shake or shaken in the church. It will come. Indeed, it has begun already. Past Saturday, we heard about it. We heard about what Pastor Ted Wilson said. He said that he believes that the shaking has already begun. Because we see so many pastors are leaving the church. Ezekiel 20 verse 12. I gave them my Sabbath. Today is one of them. Is the only. Is the only. Okay. To be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. The seal of God is placed upon those who consciously keep the Sabbath of the Lord. Consciously keep the Sabbath of the Lord. You know what you're doing. When you keep in the Sabbath, you know how to keep it. And I think one day I need to preach about how to keep the Sabbath. Those who would not have the seal of God in their foreheads must keep. Those who would have the seal of God in their foreheads must keep the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment alone of all the Ten Commandments contains the seal of the great lawgiver, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That means Sabbath is the seal of God. The seal of God will never be placed. I'm talking to myself. And I'm talking to my church. I'm talking to anybody who is watching online. Or anybody who will be watching in display. This is what pen of inspiration say. The seal of God will never be placed upon the forehead of an impure man or woman.
It will never be placed upon the forehead of the ambitious. Oh my God. World-loving man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of men or women of false tongues or deceitful hearts. All who receive the seal must be without spot before God, candidates for heaven. Think about your conditions. Go to God and pray. Ask Him to help you out. Otherwise, it's over. Satan is now using every device in his deceiving time to keep the minds of God's people from the present truth and to cause them to waver. The present truth should be preached every Saturday, every time there is a meeting in the church, so that the mind of church members would not be what? Kept or be distracted. Keep the mind of God's people from the present truth and to cause them to waver. In a little while, everyone who is a child of God will have his seal placed upon him. Oh, that it may be placed upon our foreheads. Who can endure the thought of being passed by when the angel goes to seal the servants of God in their forehead? Think about it. God is coming in this church and he said, I'm going to seal my children. And you see, God is sealing. No, let me leave that. Think about a rich person. I'm not saying Donald Trump or Bill Gates. I'm not talking about Elon Musk. Let's talk about the one of Berkshire. What is his name again? This man comes. He said, I'm going to give to every church member that is attending church today $1 million. $1 million to everyone. That man started from Sister Sharon. And then to my brother, and then to you. And then Sister Heather said, okay, this cannot be my turn. I'm going to have. And then Sister Heather is looking at that man. Not you, my sister, okay? Not you, my sister. Are you with me? Okay. When I say Sister Heather, but don't believe it, it's you. And anybody whose name is Long Island, okay, that person is called Long Island, okay. Long Island is watching to see if she's going to have his or her $1 million. And then that rich man skips that person. How will you feel? You forgot me! No, this is not for you. This is not for you. $1 million and you have your home to pay? You were praying that God would give you some money to pay bill, whatever, and this is the same thing. Being passed by without being sealed will cause the greatest crisis that ever existed. Nothing, no one, no power can appeal this final decision. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes. So the mark of the beast will be enacted first before God closes the probationary time, for it is to be the greatest test for the people of God. That means the greatest test is the mark of the beast, by which their eternal destiny will be decided. That means if we do not get to that time, not until we get to that time, we will not be sealed, because it is the last test. When probation will end, then the crisis will amplify, because no sin will be forgiven anymore. The Father and the Son will leave the judgment hall and stand outside until the plagues finish their job of destruction of the wicked. Probation closes when the sealing is finished. Just before we entered the time of trouble, we all received the seal of the living God. Then I saw the four angels cease to hold the four winds. What are the four winds? Those are part of it. Famine, pestilence, and sword. Nation rose against nation, and the whole world was in confusion. You don't want to be there in the world at that time. Let's say there is an earthquake in New York. Can somebody tell me exactly what happened yesterday in New York around 10:20 in the morning? There was an earthquake, 4.8. It was not exactly inside of New York. It was in New Jersey. But some people, even here in Elmira, said they felt this the quake. There is an impending danger upon New York and the big cities of the world. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel with a white dress and on by his side returned from the earth and reported to Jesus that his work was done and the saints were numbered and sealed. Then I saw Jesus, who had been ministering before the ark, we just talked about it, containing the Ten Commandments, throw down the censer, raise his hand, and with a loud voice said, "It is done. No more probation. No more forgiveness of sin. No more appeal. No more." Revelation 22 verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." That means if someone was wicked, he will stay wicked until God destroys him by the fire. Once Jesus finishes his mediation. No, let me see that. An angel returning. Okay, I'm not going to read that anymore. Revelation 7 verses 2 and 3. "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." I'm waiting for that. I want everybody here to receive that seal. But it is not up to me. It is up to you. When Jesus ceases to plead for men, the cases of all are forever decided. Probation closes. Christ's intercession ceases in heaven. This time finally comes suddenly upon all. And those who have neglected to purify their souls by obeying the truth are found sleeping. And church members, as I'm talking, are sleeping. When the work of the investigative judgment closes, the destiny of all will have been decided for life or death. Probation is ended a short time before the appearing of the Lord in the cloud of heaven. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be ready for that. Yes. Let me read a last part so that we can finish our message for today. Please stay with me for two or three more paragraphs. The first Christ will come. Because we are praying that God would send Jesus to get us to go to heaven, well, we've been praying for it for a long time. Satan knows it. And he's preparing to personate Jesus Christ to seduce church members and to lose them. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the Revelation. The glory that surrounds him, Satan, at that time, is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air. Christ has come. Christ has come. Now my question to you, my brothers and my sisters, who will shout, "Christ has come. Christ has come"? The fallen churches. The falling churches, Catholic and Protestant alike, will cry, "Christ has come," when in reality,
It is Satan.
See, you know why it says, Satan sees that he's about to lose his case. He cannot sweep in the whole world. He makes one last desperate effort to overcome the faithful by deception. Who he will try to overcome by deception? The faithful. Who are the faithful? Those who keep the commandments of God and have what? The testimony of Jesus. He does this impersonating Christ. He clothes himself with the garment of royalty, which have been accurately described in the vision of John. He has power to do this. He will appeal to his deluded followers, the Christian world. Sister White calls them, the Holy Spirit calls them deluded followers, the Christian world, who received not the love of the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That means transgression of the law. Has Christ come and the second time? He proclaims himself Satan. Satan proclaims himself Christ, and he is believed to be Christ, a beautiful, majestic being, clothed with majesty and with soft voice, pleasant words, with glory unsurpassed by anything their mortal eyes had yet beheld, never seen before. Then he's deceived. Christian world. Deluded followers set up a shout of victory. Christ has come the second time. Christ has come. He has lifted up his hand just as Jesus did when he was upon the earth and blessed us. This is what Protestant churches and Catholic churches will say. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, we know that this is not going to be Jesus Christ. How do we know? Jesus will come in the air. Satan will come where? On the earth. Jesus will come in glory with angels. Satan will come alone. Jesus will not come to bless. Jesus will come to get his people to go to heaven. Satan will come to bless those who keep Sunday, saying that he has transferred Saturday to Sunday. Jesus will not come to make any change. Brothers and sisters, know your Bible. Study your Bible to be sealed. To be sealed when the time of judgment finishes. Are you ready for that? This is going to be the last crisis. Last crisis for the earth. Last crisis for the church. Are you ready for that? God bless you, friends. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the time that you spent with your children, blessing them. As we're going to go back home, please be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.